The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
I want to wish you a happy new year and thank you for joining us on this program today. As we enter into a new year, let's commit ourselves to honoring God in our lives like never before. Because when you set yourself apart and say, God, I'm going to seek you, He equips you with His strength and His ability. He has the power to elevate you beyond your weakness and beyond your failures. Today, we're diving into a powerful message about the ripple effect of your consecration. When Daniel chose to dedicate himself to God, it sparked a transformation not just within him, but among everyone around him, specifically three young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a beautiful story of consecration today, and I want you to open up your heart and let His Word speak to you right now.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
Daniel chapter 1, and I want to speak to you this morning on something that is different. I've never shared this before, but I pray the Holy Spirit makes it real to you. I want to talk about the ripple effect. The ripple effect, just like you throw a pebble into the water and you see the ripple effect of consecration. I'll begin reading in Daniel chapter 1. And we'll just, for the sake of time, go to verse 4. And so they gathered them all together, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, the sharpest of the sharp, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them as a daily provision of the king's delicacies of the wine, which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now, from among those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, I just gave you the Hebrew names. You know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they changed their names, changed their identity. And to them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, here's my text, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs. I will stop reading there, except I want to quickly go to verse 19 and 20. Then the king interviewed them. And he said, among them, all none was found like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and astrologers that were in the realm. Then Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So I read a lot of scriptures and I want to sum it up. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. He invaded Israel and he took captive, we're told this in several different passages in the scripture, 10,000 young people. He took 10,000 young people captive. And specifically, we're given even more detail into that insight in this text. We would call the cream of the crop, the most talented, the most gifted, the best looking, the the wisest, the ones who were one. Let me read you some of the translations of the verse I just read you. The princes that had no blemish, exceedingly gifted, those that were very skillful in science, groomed and taught. Another translation said those that were exceptionally healthy, handsome, well-educated, perfect specimens. He took 10,000 and enslaved them in a sophisticated way of slavery, not like the old Egyptians working in brick houses. This was a different type. They were given a lot of things. And just 4 out of the 10,000 are we ever given a report on. And you just got the 4, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Out of 10,000 that were taken back to build Babylon and its culture with their talents and gifts and everything that they had, their brilliance, we're only told that 4 made it to the highest position possible to literally serve Nebuchadnezzar. And he turned to them like a filters to run everything by them that he did. The book of Daniel gives us their names. But what stood out to me is the key to it all, the key to them being in that position of influence, not only through the whole administration of Nebuchadnezzar, but then his grandson took over, and all the way to Cyrus, the next three administrations over 3 generations, about 40 years each. It's amazing. And right in that circle of influence was Daniel. We know, and probably Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't hear much about them, but you have Daniel there, and he's called up in every one of those. It all came because of one thing that he did right here. It said, but Daniel purposed within his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and wine. Now, what was the king's meat and wine? It was meat that had been offered on altars to gods like Baal in worship of demonic gods and false gods, and they had offered the meat and the animal on the altar, and then the king would eat the meat that had been offered to false gods and drink the wine that had been on the altar. And the scripture said that Daniel made this consecration that I won't eat the king's meat. And the person over him heard about it, who worked for Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, you can't do that. You can't stop eating the king's meat. You're going to look puny. You're going to look too skinny. You're going to look emaciated. I cannot let you do that. And Daniel said, I challenge you to something. He said, you let me give up that meat that's been offered to your gods, and you let the rest of these kids eat this food, but you let me eat vegetables and drink water and give me granola. He asked for grain, granola, minus the sugar. And he said, give it to me. And after 10 days, let's see who's the fairest of them all. Mirror, mirror on the wall. And after 10 days, your Bible said that they looked fairer. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were better looking, fairer, and fatter. Turn to somebody and say, watch that granola. Fatter, fatter than those who were eating the rich meat from the king's table. And the king commanded that they be brought before him, and he chose them, and he said, and let them stand before me in all matters, for he found them 10 times better than all the others standing by. All because a man was consecrated and had convictions, and he said, I'm going to follow my convictions. It hits 3 more, it ripple effects on 3 more, and then the whole nation, all it takes is one young person to stand up in a youth group and say, you know, if I'm good looking,
it's because God wants to use me. If I'm talented, it's because God wants to use me. If I've got an advantage in life, if I'm smart, it's because God wants to use me. And I want God to be number one in my life. And I don't care what everybody else is drinking and what everybody else is doing. I want to be so totally sold out to God. And when one person in the youth group says, I'll be that one, then the ripple effects hit Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it starts hitting the whole youth group. Same thing can happen in a family. Amen. My brother Richie, who's gone on to be with the Lord, he was the one who fasted so much more. He's literally went on a 40-day fast and did nothing but drink water. But I went just a typical Sunday morning. My dad was the pastor. He preached that morning. I don't remember anything about any of that, and I didn't care. I was sitting back there, just went in the church service, wanting it to get over so I could get out and do my thing. And I sat down, and Richie knew that I wasn't living right. He knew some things, little tattletales would tell on you. And he was hearing all kinds of stuff. And for some reason, when we all sat down, Mom had fixed a big lunch after church, and she always had a spread. And man, we were so hungry. And somebody said, "Where's Richie?" And they said, "He's fasting. He's not coming to lunch." And I didn't know it until after the service that night, but he had been fasting for me. And I went to church that night, and he got up and he felt led to sing before my dad was to preach, at the cross where I first saw the light. And there was something about the way that he started singing it that I was as rebellious as I could be, but it tore through all of that. And I got saved, and then others started coming and they got saved because they knew me and I had influence over them. So I want you to see it. There's Daniel and there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's my brother Richie, and then his consecration touched me. And when I knelt, my consecration touched others. Still is today. For the glory of God. I'm telling you, there's a power in consecration. Now, where did this consecration come from in Daniel's life? Where did it start? It's a great question, and it's so important to understand, because the Bible said in 1 Kings 22 and verse 1 that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the reason they were impacted was because of Daniel. And what is interesting is, guess who was king when Daniel was a little child? Guess who his leader was when he was just a young fella? Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adah. Who cares? Amen. Bozark or whatever it is. It's wearing my brain out trying to figure it out. I'm not preaching on them. I don't care about them right now. The thing that is important. 8 years old. Is there an 8 year old? Did you get me an 8 year old? Come here, buddy. I want to introduce to y'all Josiah. This is going to be my little illustration right here. He became king at 8 years old. Is there a 16-year-old young man here? 16-year-old that would come? Come here, 16-year-old. Watch this. Now you stand right there. Grayson, that's your name? No, your name is Josiah. Now come here. Now, he's 8 years old when he begins to be king. And the thing that is so strange about this text is he did what was right. If you go on and read the rest of that verse, it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the example of David. and he did not vary from the left or the right. He, at the age of 8, when he became 16, the Bible said that he felt stirred in his heart to begin to clean out the temple because the whole land was in idolatry. And so as they're cleaning out the temple, they come across Moses' 10 commandments and the law that Moses wrote from Genesis to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. All of those books. And he, when he heard it at the age of 16, he said, I want you to bring me those scrolls and I want you to read me that word. I'm talking about the power of a consecration. And at the age of 16, he made them read to him Genesis all the way in one sitting, all the way to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, through all 5 books of the Old Testament, the first 5 books. He sat and he listened and he listened and he listened for how many hours after hour after hour after hour. And at some point, the Word of God began to affect a 16-year-old that in that sitting, the Bible said that he began to weep. He tore his robe. He rent his clothes. He fell down. He was weeping and sobbing. He knew that Israel was backslidden, and he starts saying, we're going to do more than talk about it. We're about to have a revival in this nation. Now, I want you to see something else. Is there a young man at the age of 26 that can help me preach my sermon? Is there a 26-year-old? Well, come on. Oh, he's really looking. Come on, little preacher man. Come on now. Here we go. Man, we didn't plan this. 26-year-old man of God. He goes to the valley where they were burning their children alive in human sacrifices, their babies, sacrificing them to false gods, and he levels the places. He goes all over the nation, and he tears down the high places in Israel. He takes out the false priests. He burns down the houses of immorality. He burns down, and I mean at 26 years old. At 16, he had a consecration for the Word. At 8, he was put in a place. He was different. He did what was right in the eyes of God, even when he was 8, something in him. And by the time that his reign was over, he was in his 40s. That'll be me. I started to get somebody, but I thought I can play that part. Can I show you what is astounding? As the 26-year-old Josiah is going through the land, and the Bible said there was no king like him. As a matter of fact, when he died, they were so sad. He had so impacted. In 2 Chronicles 35 and 25, he impacted Jeremiah, and he lamented for Josiah, according to 2 Chronicles 35 and 25. And to this day, all the singing men and women speak of Josiah in their lamentations. They made a custom for Israel. Indeed, they have written this in the Laments, or the Book of Lamentations. That text is saying the whole book of Lamentations, all the weeping of Lamentations, has to do with Josiah, who was so committed and so consecrated to God that he touched people like Jeremiah and Daniel, one human being. But he goes and rides up to northern Israel, the last thing he does when he's in his 40s. And when he gets to northern Israel, he sees a graveyard of kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord stirs him, and he says, dig their bones up and tear their sepulchers down and their grave places down and burn their bones. And in the middle of it, there is this verse in 1 Kings 13. And he says now, I want to ask you a question. What is this sepulcher over here? And he said, well, this is the sepulcher of a prophet. And this is what he said. There was a prophet who prophesied, behold, 344 years, Mr. Josiah, before you're ever 8 or 16 or 26 or 40-something, 344 years ago, there was a prophet who looked at the evil king that was there named Jeroboam, and he said, Jeroboam, you feel big and strong and mighty, but there's coming one day in the future, 344 years from now, there'll be a young king by the name of Josiah who will be born, and he will burn your bones. I believe that there is a call on this generation. That it's not too late for revival, but God needs one person who will say, I'll consecrate my life to him. And it's astounding and it's astonishing that before he was ever born, 344 years plus, that an 8-year-old would become king. At 16, he would devour the word of God. And at 26, he would tear down the false idols all over the nation. And in his 40s, when he burned all the bones of those kings, and he said, you leave that sepulcher alone if that old prophet's bones is in there, because he called my name out before I was ever born. He didn't know it when he was here and here and here, but there was a prophecy over his life that was working for 344 years. And the power of consecration through every phase of life got him to that moment of fulfillment where he burned the bones of that evil king. Consecration matters. Dedication to God matters.
I just want you today to consider, at the beginning of a brand new year, the power of your consecration, that you can absolutely begin a ripple effect of blessing on your children and your children's children for generations in every way. Now, I want you to pray this prayer at the beginning of this new year. I want entire families, maybe there's a couple watching me, and your marriage is in trouble and you need God's help. Why don't you just grab the hand of one another and just pray this prayer together and say, Lord Jesus, I consecrate my life to you. I surrender to you. Begin a ripple effect, a blessing in my life and family, as we put you first and seek your face. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. I believe that his forgiveness and his grace is flowing like a mighty river right to that room where you are. So today, if there's a need in your life, call the number on the screen or visit our website. We have free resources and we want to be a blessing to your life. As you know, one way to consecrate yourself, as I've talked about in this message even today, is through fasting and prayer. And this is a time when we as a church do a 21-day fast. If you've never fasted before, we've created an easy-to-use fasting resource available for free on our website. If you've watched this for any length of time, you know that we're a ministry that absolutely stands with Israel. So much so that recently, the Jewish National Fund awarded this ministry the Tree of Life Shalom Peace Award. And I want to ask you to consider a special gift as we keep our Jewish brothers and sisters safe during the time of war. Please ask God what He would have you do and I know it'll be enough. Watch this and see how you can be involved.
On October 7, Israel was attacked by the dark forces of Hamas. It was the worst massacre the Jewish people experienced since the Holocaust. The Eshkol region in southern Israel was attacked directly. This is where Jensen Franklin Media Ministries, in partnership with the Jewish National Fund, have been working the last 5 years to build fortified schools, bomb shelters, and other life-saving projects. Thankfully, these projects did save many lives that day. And now we stand at a pivotal moment, poised to provide a lifeline for the people of Eshkol, who continue to be attacked by terrorists every day. Jensen Franklin Media Ministries recently committed the largest amount of funding ever towards the initiative, From Darkness to Light, representing our unwavering dedication to not just help rebuild communities in Eshkol, but to mend hearts and restore what seemed irrevocably lost. We have a comprehensive plan that will be completed in 3 phases. Phase number 1 provides physical safety. That is why we are building civil defense centers and over 800 safe houses, making sure every family in the region has a safe room in case of terrorist attacks. When you give to a project like this, there is a promise for you found in Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, Israel. Together, we can demonstrate that faith combined with collective action can illuminate the darkest moments and forge a brighter, more hopeful future for the Eshkol community. Call or go online today.
But the Lord is saying today that through prayer and through fasting, whatever walls the enemy has put up in your life, those walls are going to fall in the name of Jesus.
Jesus wouldn't have told us to pray if it didn't work.
Welcome to Free Chapel, where everything we do is about inspiring people to live for Jesus. From our uplifting worship and encouraging messages, it all points to Him, and we'd love for you and your family to join in. Head over to our app or website to find out more.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. Visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.